This is Combat Central with Peter Klein and G. Rana on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The WWE is all shook up. We have UFC card to break down and one to discuss. We also have Mr. Boxing in Calgary coming on. Plus, you can just take the rest of the year off watching WWE. We have WrestleMania 35 all booked. G's Mania, my Mania, your Mania, all of that to come here in the next 2 hours on Combat Central on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, Peter Klein and G. Rana with you today.
That's right, listener.
Yeah, that was unnecessarily aggressive. Yeah.
Do you not know me? Come on now.
G, unnecessarily aggressive. Yes. Rana.
Booker G.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I like that. That needs to turn into a thing.
That needs to be a segment.
Yes, for sure. But we do begin with some somber news as a legend, true legend of the pro wrestling world, Bruno Sammartino, passes away this week. There is no other way to describe him but legendary. He was someone who really set the standard for the WWE way back when it was actually the WWWF holding the title for more than 11 years across two title reigns. He is really, truthfully, the Babe Ruth of this, whatever, I was going to call it sport, but whatever you want to call pro wrestling, he is the Babe Ruth of it.
He is, will go down as probably the greatest champion of all time. But aside from everything that he's done in wrestling, his just like growing up, this guy hid from Nazis as a child during World War II and bringing his craft, I guess, what you want to say, to America and then being, again, the greatest champion of all time is a true testament to not only him as a performer, but him as a person.
Yes. No, like just his family story. Yes. His entire, it really shows where he got the work ethic from.
Yeah.
So a remarkable life lived, a remarkable career. I'm happy that he and WWE kind of made amends because they can kind of eliminate you from history pretty quickly in the WWE. And I'm happy that his is a legacy that will live on. The first title reign he had, the longest in company history, 2,803 days.
Mm-hmm. Massive, like huge.
1963 to 1971, when Ivan Koloff beat him.
Yeah.
Just, it's impossible to wrap your head around. He still holds records for sellouts at Madison Square Garden. This man was a true superstar. And again, like I say it a lot, legend. An absolute legend of this industry.
Yep.
And so, someone whose impact will be felt for a very long time.
And again, someone who transcended the sports or the performance of wrestling, and basically truly was the American dream, essentially.
Absolutely. That's very well put. Also, some sad news this week as manager Paul Jones passing away. This is one that would probably get a lot more coverage if it were not around the same time as Bruno, but do want to mention the passing of Paul Jones as well. Sticking in the world of professional wrestling, the poster isn't going to match the main event for Impact Wrestling's next foray into pay-per-view. Feels like it's been a while since we've had an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, because it has been a while. November of 2017 was the last time that Impact was on pay-per-view. And then before that, it was October of 2016.
Yeah.
So they don't venture into this area a ton, but with a new management group, they're getting back into it this weekend. I'm interested to see how it does. I've been watching Impact again. The build for this has been pretty decent, but it gets a little bit hamstrung when the guy who's supposed to be in your main event walks out on the company after the TV taping.
Yeah. Event. Yeah. It's going to be tricky how they go about this. And I don't, like me personally, I wouldn't know how to really book it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we of course are talking about Alberto Del Rio.
Yes.
And my God, I don't know what they're going to do. But with everything, you know, you just mentioned all the changes that Impact is having. With all of these changes, everything seems to be going in the up and up for them. So hopefully they can figure out something decent.
Well, they do have a main event. It is Austin Aries defending the Impact World Championship against Pentagon Jr. against Rey Fenix in a triple threat match.
Sure, but again, like Alberto Del Rio is a big name.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's...
It's
going to be difficult.
Yeah, so. And again, like they had all the TV taped leading up to this.
Yeah.
And so you could see there was clear edits on television.
Yep.
They went back to the show they they had in New Orleans a fair amount to kind of fill some of that time. But it's going to be a phenomenal match.
Yeah.
Also on this card, real quick, the X Division Championship on the line. Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne in WWE, is defending the X Division Championship against the Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams, the best move in professional wrestling, the Canadian Destroyer, for those keeping track, which I don't know why you would. But Petey Williams will be cashing in his Feast or Fired X Division title match.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Eli Drake, sneaky, one of the best promos in pro wrestling.
I've heard that from a lot of people, especially
it's not just
on my
an insult,
Twitter
it's a fact of life.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, no, I've heard that from numerous people, and I haven't really gotten a chance to sit down and watch a lot of them, so I'm just taking people's word for it that he is a very awesome promo.
As you should.
Yeah.
Do you know who his tag team partner is for this match?
No.
The Impact tag team titles on the line, LAX, not the LAX you're used to, Santana and Ortiz with Conan in their corner, taking on Eli Drake, and I kid you not, Scott Steiner.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh my.
This is Eli Drake.
Let me tell you something, Eli.
This is Eli Drake cashing in his Feast or Fire tag team title match that he had. He's not one with a tag team partner. I think the plan was to have Chris Adonis here. Chris Adonis left the company. So why not?
Okay. So I was listening to one of Cole Cabana's podcasts. And he, ironically, he had Petey Williams on. This is years ago, right?
Yeah.
Petey Williams has some of the best Scott Steiner stories on the face of the planet because they were together so much, right?
Yeah.
And Colt was just like, Scott Steiner just needs to be, like, you know how the Iron Sheik is right now on Twitter? Scott Steiner just needs to be that.
Yeah.
Because he is just a walking, talking cartoon, basically.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh.
And now he's wrestling.
And now, well, yeah. I mean, he's always been wrestling. But
well,
like,
yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Seeing him on TV, you know how he used to have the bleach blonde goatee.
Yeah.
Now it's just white.
Yeah.
Now it's just it's a gray goatee.
And like his chest has this weird concave thing, and it's
The shirt stays on now.
Yeah, as it should.
He wore at their show at WrestleCon. He wore an NWO Wolfpack shirt.
Good for him.
All right. Yeah. Copyright laws be damned. Let's roll with it. Ohio versus everything. The Chris Brothers and Sammy Callahan taking on Moose, Eddie Edwards, and Tommy Dreamer.
Moose.
In a House of Hardcore match.
Oh, wow.
Tommy Dreamer showing up on television last week. So this will be probably very violent.
Yeah.
Allie, the Canadian women's champion, or knockouts champion, sorry. Mm-hmm. They're still doing that.
Yeah.
Against Sue Young. So that'll be all right. It's Allie's first feud with the title.
Yeah.
Taiji Ishimori with one of the best themes in pro wrestling against Desmond Alexander, against El Hijo del Fantasma, against Brian Cage, against DJZ, against Trevor Lee in a 6-way match. They've really been featuring Brian Cage a ton on their television.
Guy is huge.
Yeah, just jacked.
And you know that's not natural because when you saw him when he was in WWE for a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like twig-like.
Mm-hmm.
Not like still in decent shape, but nowhere near to this cloud of a human being that he is right now.
Yeah. He is 6 feet tall, 265 pounds.
Insane.
And finally, Aerostar against Drago. That'll be a fun match. It's going to be a fun show. I don't anticipate this doing mucho numbers on pay-per-view, but... I don't mind that they're venturing back into this. Like, at least you have something to build for on television every week.
Yeah. I wonder after the match if Scott Steiner's going to look at his paycheck and be like, I'm going to do some math here. It's 3-3, you can't understand a word that he says.
Speaking of television, MLW is on TV now. The promotion that was once dead, that was doing some one-offs on pay-per-view, now on, I believe, weekly television on beIN Sports.
Okay. Never heard of that.
They do. They've been coming up a little bit in soccer.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's more pro wrestling on television, and there's a lot of smart people behind this.
Okay.
And best of all, the man doing the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone.
Oh, the Siobhan.
Yeah, he's back.
Ah.
And last
Get him up.
Last one, PWG running their final, or yes. not the one of their final shows
yeah.
at the Legion whatever in Reseda, California. Notably for this one, it is the Young Bucks final appearance.
Yes.
In that gym.
Yeah. There's a lot of history behind that gym.
Yes.
From all accounts from wrestlers, they hated wrestling in it, especially during summertime, because it's just one big sauna, especially during Bolas, a battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sell out everything in just a matter of minutes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and like celebrities go. Like yeah. Ronda Rousey was there one time.
Yeah.
The girl from Modern Family whose name I'm not going to remember.
And one of the girls from Community, the blonde one.
Oh yeah, the one who played Britta.
Yes.
Yeah,
whatever
her name is.
She's apparently a huge El Generico fan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing.
Probably in Mexico.
Yeah, helping out in an orphanage.
Yeah.
So that is your news of the week. Time for us to take a break here on the program today. When we come back, we told you we were booking WrestleMania, and
yes.
we're going to get G, Booker G.
Can you book it, sucker?
Can you? We had to change the rules midweek.
Yeah.
I still don't think I actually followed them all the way.
That's fine.
But we will get to yours. We will get to mine. We will get to fan submissions. Also, the WWE shook things up with their roster. We will talk about that. We have some UFC conversation and big things happening in boxing in the city. It feels like we say this every week, but some truly big things happening in the city. We will chat with Mr. Boxing in Calgary coming up a little bit later on in the program. If you have any thoughts on the show today, send them our way on Twitter. I'm at Primetime Klein.
I'm at G underscore Rana.
And this is Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Can you dig it?
Can you book it?
Can you book it? Sucker, that's what we're going with here?
Yes.
Welcome back. Booker G.
Booker G
is in the house. Welcome to Combat. We need to get something done with that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome back, everyone. Peter Klein and Booker G with you.
Yes.
It is time. We had a week to do homework.
It's actually G Rana, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're booking WrestleMania 35.
Yes, we are.
Here's the thing. We're not going to go through, like, month by month. Okay, and at Backlash, this is going to happen. And this.
And also, we're not going to go, well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go through every match and be like, oh, and then he clotheslined him.
And then duck.
And then
I'm not
cover
even expecting
two,
you to have results. Like,
I have results.
Yeah. I don't.
For the record.
No, I don't expect that. I was just give us the card.
Yeah.
Let us fantasize about it.
Okay.
Let's do that. But I like that you have the results here. So again,
I do.
We first of all process yeah. doing this. Mm. I had a blast.
I told you on Twitter, man. I even texted you when I was done my card. I was like, yeah, I don't think I can do 10 matches. I have like 14.
Yeah. I had 10.
Yeah.
And I had one singles match.
Yeah.
Because everyone, it was just like six ways, seven, oh my God.
So, I have a few singles matches. And then like, as soon as I was done, I was like, dude, this could have been so much more fun for me if I was at a library and I was reading a few novels.
Yeah.
But then I realized that would have just gone down a completely different rabbit hole. And then it would just end up me being like, I'm going to book the entire year, you know, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have WrestleMania 39 booked out.
Yeah. Yeah. As I'm just reading novel after novel after novel.
Yeah. So we'll do yours this segment. We'll do mine next segment. Okay. And then we'll get the fan interaction coming up a little bit later on in the program. After mine is done, we'll kind of go through some of our grand takeaways from these. But it is now time.
Yeah.
Booker G.
Yeah.
Let's
book
hear.
This.
I am assuming this is just 14 different matches of Roman Reigns getting beat by someone.
What are you talking about?
Is that true?
What are you talking about? Roman Reigns wins everything, and it's fine. Like, I mean,
so this is 14 matches of Roman Reigns just beating people.
Have you not watched the past 5 years of wrestling? Come on now, Pete.
Don't make me go through his pay-per-view record.
Jeez.
All right. I'm writing these down.
Okay. Also, just as a disclaimer. I'm not putting Taker and Brock into my Mania because me personally, again, I'm booking this for myself.
Yeah, this is the thought behind this is Vince called us up. I was like, damn it. I can't. I don't know what to do. You guys take the pen and go.
Yeah. And again, this is for my happiness. And I'm so over watching Taker and Brock that they're not even on my card. Also, Cena is like backstage or something like that, he's also not wrestling on my card either.
Okay. With mine, no Brock, because I'm assuming he's done after the Greatest Royal Rumble, and no Taker, because that would have been depressing.
Yes.
So, all right. Let's, what order are you going to start? Main event and work your way
no.
down? Okay. We're going to build up. I like it.
Got to give the listener what they want. So we're starting off with the pre-show.
Okay. Quickly, I do want to mention, we had some rules that, again, we broke.
Yes.
14 matches.
Yeah.
And they have to be either on the current roster or an NXT or associated with the company.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, I did not, I know we're, I'm just, I'm tantalizing the listener right now.
Yeah.
I did not really use NXT because.
Okay.
There's a lot anyway. Yeah. Well, not only that, but like I'm going on current day roster and who knows who's going to get called up and whatever. All right.
Okay.
So let's start off with the pre-show. Kay. Andre the Giant Memorial Tournament.
Battle Royal. Okay. Yeah, you have me excited for a second.
Titus O'Neil.
Titus, I like it.
Titus O'Neil, just because it's in recent day, the guy's just getting squashed left, right, and center. And this way, like, he can be like, yeah, I won the tournament, or I won the trophy. It's part of Titus Worldwide now.
Yeah.
You want to win a trophy, you can join Titus Worldwide. So it kind of adds dimensions to the character.
Okay.
Pre-show match number two. I only have two matches on my pre-show.
All right.
And I've renamed this the Sensational Women's Battle Royal after the after Sherri Martel.
Okay.
Because we all know that naming can be a bit of a you-know-what for the WWE, as we saw this year.
Yeah.
Carmella wins this.
Okay.
She drops the SmackDown Women's title at some point in this year, and we've seen it in this year. You can have a former champion win the thing.
Yep.
Naomi, right?
Totally.
Now we move on to the main show. Cruiserweight title. Drew Gulak defends the championship against Jack Gallagher.
Wow.
With Gallagher losing. Now Gulak won the title over Mustafa Ali, who then beat Cedric Alexander earlier in the year. And then Gallagher beat Mustafa Ali and Hideo Itami for the number one contendership.
Nice. Yes. I like that.
Yeah. Moving on to match number four in total.
Okay.
This, the U.S. title. Miz, Orton, Big Cass, and Rusev in a four-way. Rusev coming in as the champion and walking out as the champion.
Wow.
And in this year's Mania, guy comes out in two tanks.
Is he straddling them?
Yes.
Like one, okay.
100%. Because last time that he had a U.S. title at Mania, it did not go so well for him.
No, it did not.
So he walks in as champ, walks out as champ.
Okay.
Bam.
Love it.
Yeah. Match number five. This is a no DQ between Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin.
Okay.
They've had a program for a while, all culminating at Mania. Now, near the end of the match, Dean Ambrose comes out to help Seth Rollins because it's no DQ.
Yeah.
Turns on Rollins.
Oh.
Destroys him with chair shots.
Okay. I like it.
And Corbin wins with the interference because, again, no DQ.
I have to say,
yeah,
I'm proud of you. I was not expecting a Baron Corbin win to pop up on your WrestleMania.
Hey, man, you got to surprise the listener sometimes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well done.
Match number six. This for the SmackDown tag titles. New Day and Sanity, with Sanity winning the titles from New Day, who came in as the title holders. Sanity, in my mind, rarely lost this year. And New Day beat Gallows and Anderson for the titles after the club beat the Bludgeon Brothers earlier in the year.
Nice.
Yeah, so Sanity takes the win and the titles on this one. Number seven. This is a four-way match between Sasha Banks, Bayley, Nia Jax, and Alexa Bliss. Cool. All four women feuded with each other all year, and this effectively became a number one contendership for the Raw women's title.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss wins this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Number eight, the Raw tag titles. American Alpha versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Nice.
American Alpha reunited earlier this year. They hated each other from the start, but Kurt Angle convinced them to get back together. They actually beat the Authors of Pain earlier in the year for the titles.
Wow.
American Alpha only held the titles for like 2 or 3 months. Authors of Pain beat Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt for the tag titles. Authors of Pain held it for majority of the year.
Okay.
But Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens win the titles.
Love it.
Yeah. And it effectively made Kevin Owens a Grand Slam champion
Mm-hmm.
And Sami Zayn finally got a title on the main roster.
Okay. So I like it. We're rolling.
Yeah. Match number 9. It's for the SmackDown Women's title. That's where it gets interesting. This is where my card gets a little bit interesting.
All right. It's been good for up until now. I'm liking yours better than mine.
SmackDown Women's title. Becky Lynch and Asuka, with Asuka winning the championship. Lynch won the title over Carmella after Becky cashed in her Money in the Bank briefcase earlier in the year.
Jeez.
And Asuka beat Charlotte for the number one contender.
You put way more thought into this than I did. And I wish I would have put more in, to be honest with you.
I had some free time, and then I was just like, I was like, oh man, I totally forgot that we're booking this Mania thing. I'm going to have fun with it now.
Yeah. Nice.
Can you imagine if I did this not sober?
Yeah. We need to do that one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So that was match number 9. SmackDown Women's title. Asuka beat Becky Lynch. Number 10. This is a singles match between Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan. Both these guys were feuding with others all year, but a few months close to Mania, finally started going head-to-head. Joe wins this match and then calls out the winner of the SmackDown title match later on in the night.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the match, Joe calls out the winner.
Yeah.
Match number 11. This for the Intercontinental title. It's a triple threat between Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Elias.
Wow.
Strowman comes in as the champion and walks out as champion.
I like it.
Strowman won the Intercontinental title earlier in the year by beating Bobby Lashley. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So walked in as champ, walked out as champ. That, again, for the Intercontinental title. Match number 12, SmackDown Championship. So we're winding down the card now.
Okay, so this is the WWE Championship.
Yes, I call it SmackDown Championship.
Yeah, no, whatever. That's fine. Yeah.
All right, this is a repeat of last year between Nakamura and AJ Styles.
Okay.
Basically, this was a year-long feud, but it was built up way better now that Nakamura is a heel and they have time to work with instead of a few months.
Okay.
As they did this year, right? Yep. Nakamura wins the match this time and the title from AJ Styles, but then it's teased as the men's Money in the Bank winner comes out. Instead, smiles and stares down Nakamura, does not cash in, walks out. Money in the Bank winner, Andrade Cien Almas.
Nice. Almas tease.
Yeah.
Love it.
So again, did not cash in.
Yeah, but teased it.
But teased it. So Nakamura and AJ Styles is again for the SmackDown title with Nakamura going over. So we got two matches left.
Okay.
This is for the Universal Championship, match number 13. So it does not close out the show. Wow. Does not close out the show. Reigns the champion versus Royal Rumble winner, Bobby Lashley.
Love it.
Now, throughout the year, nothing's changed in Reigns' booking. Vince still keeps pushing the guy as a sympathetic face. I does lose the title at some point this year to Drew McIntyre.
Love it.
But then gets it back.
Okay.
Lashley, of course, won the Royal Rumble. Dean Ambrose makes another appearance now.
Whoa!
Yeah. Turning on Reigns, costing him the match and making Lashley the Universal Championship to a chorus of massive cheers.
Of course.
Yes. Now, this sets up a triple threat with Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose throughout the year.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Okay.
So there it is. This, the final match, the main event.
Okay.
For the Raw Women's Championship between the champion, Ronda Rousey, who won the title earlier this year.
Okay.
From Alexa Bliss, who won over Nia Jax. So Rousey, the champion, versus Women's Royal Rumble winner, Charlotte.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like where you went with that.
Yeah. After she won the Rumble, she basically moved to Raw, challenged Rousey. The buildup was fast, but it worked. And Rousey retains the title.
Nice.
Yeah. And this was probably the match of the night.
That's a good one.
So there you go.
That's a real good show.
So there you go.
Yeah. I was surprised by a couple things.
As you should be, because that's what I even told you.
Yeah.
I was like, I got a few surprises sprinkled in
you
there.
You do? Yeah, no, this was good. So again, to recap, title, so Neil wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yes.
Carmella wins the Sensational Women's Battle Royal.
Renamed.
Gulak is the Cruiserweight Champion with a win over Jack Gallagher. Rusev retains the United States Championship. Baron Corbin, with the assistance of a Dean Ambrose turn, gets the win over Seth Rollins. Sanity. Are they still Sanity?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they said Chaos is coming on SmackDown, which would be cool if Okada showed up.
The funniest thing about that, Okada tweeted out, he was just like, yeah, no, Chaos is in Japan, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that would have been funny, though.
Yeah, so...
Sanity with the win.
Sanity with the win over the New Day.
Alexa Bliss wins a Fatal 4-Way over Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Nia Jax. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are your new Raw Tag Team Champions. Asuka is the new SmackDown Women's Champion with a win over Becky Lynch. Samoa Joe defeats Daniel Bryan. Braun Strowman retains his Intercontinental Championship. Shinsuke Nakamura is the new WWE Champion with a victory, and then a Andrade Cien Almas tease. You get Lashley with Universal Championship win with his victory over Roman Reigns, thanks to a Dean Ambrose turn, and Ronda Rousey with the win over Charlotte in your main event.
Yes.
Thoughts on putting this together? Like any final thoughts about the process or anything like that?
It was fun as hell, man.
Yeah, this was a blast. Much. Yeah.
I love being Booker G sometimes.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
We got a good nickname out of it. Yeah. We got a lot.
I think my only difficulty was just like finding out who was on what roster. So Wikipedia was a definite help just looking at just the names and whatnot.
But No, like only you'll be able to see this. I charted it out.
Oh, wow.
Everything. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then from that list, I wrote out, okay, who do I need on this show?
Yeah.
And put the card together that way.
Yeah. No, it was like, that was the most difficult part, just finding out, you know, who's on which roster, especially after the shakeup or shakedown or whatever you want to call it. One of the funnest parts about this was the placement of each match on the card.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was fun for me just because unbeknownst to me, like, Dean Ambrose was basically the MVP of the night, and I'm not even a huge Dean Ambrose fan.
Yeah,
I'm not, but like, he was basically like the MVP of the night, and yeah, and also just figuring out like how WWE, like, you know, you have the Royal Rumble, you have the Money in the Bank,
yeah,
figuring out how those kind of factor into the entire card, that was also pretty fun as well. So overall, I had a blast doing it.
Yeah, you know that it's a fun process. Yeah. As we said, we will get to the fan ones. We got a couple of those to go through as well. But coming up next,
it's yours.
It's my turn.
It's your turn,
Booker P. I guess.
No, that doesn't.
No,
there's no ring to that one, Pete.
Nope, doesn't work there. But whatever you want to call me, my picks coming up next on Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So we know what Booker G is going to do with WrestleMania 35 at MetLife Stadium in New York. Now it's my time to shine.
Yeah.
A couple things on this. I didn't do it that well.
No?
No.
Not even a men's or a women's?
No. 14 matches.
No pre-show?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, so I could probably pick a couple of these to go on the pre-show.
It's ballsy, man.
I mean, I have them in order, so I guess two would be on the pre-show. My idea is to get more people to Access. I have both Battle Royals taking place at Access. Yeah. But
it's looking good.
If I were to have winners, Apollo Crews would be my Andre the Giant. And on the women's side, who didn't I put on here? On the women's, I like the Becky Lynch, Money in the Bank that you went with.
I know, man.
Becky Lynch.
Okay.
She's not on here. All right. So my first pre-show.
Starting off hot.
Yeah. We're rolling. What? I wanted to get everyone
in
matches.
It's cool, man.
The Cruiserweight Championship will be suspended above the ring in a ladder match.
All right. I like that.
The reigning, defending champion, Mustafa Ali, defends his championship against Cedric Alexander.
Oh, so
against Drew Gulak.
Okay.
He's very anti this, but he had to go into the ladder match.
Yeah.
Against recently called up Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
I took a few more liberties with that.
Yeah.
Against also recently called up Johnny Gargano. Against, and I looked, and he's technically still on the roster.
Neville
is in this 6-way ladder match for the Cruiserweight Championship.
That's a hell of a match, man.
Neville was back. He attacked Mustafa Ali with the ladder, setting up this match.
Yeah.
Neville is your winner.
Oh, I like that. I like the ending to that.
The king. The Cruiserweights.
Yeah. Jordy Neville. There are three names on there that I was just like, I don't know about that. Like, Because you know how you always like to poke fun of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano moving on to 205 Live?
Yeah.
Like, I understand why, but, like, they deserve better, I guess. And I was, like, for my cruiserweights, I was thinking about putting Neville on there, but I just feel like he's going to leave eventually.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, no, I like that. Six-man.
Yep. Six-man ladder match ladder to start match, things off.
That's good. I like that. That's very NXT of you.
Thank you. The number one contender for the WWE Championship at a later date will be decided in a Fatal 4-Way match.
Okay.
As Jeff Hardy takes on Chris Jericho.
Oh, wow.
Rusev.
Yeah.
And Ty Dillinger.
Oh, okay.
In a match where finally it is Rusev's day.
Okay.
To become the number one contender. He has been working his way up the ranks.
I like that.
Recently, upset at a lot of the attention Ty Dillinger has been getting, and also with legends such as Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho taking his spot. So
I like
Rusev
that. I like
is
that.
Able to bully his way through. Went a little bit off the board with this one.
Can't wait.
As we start WrestleMania with the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Okay.
Asuka holding the title for a year after a quick defeat of Carmella.
Okay.
She takes on surprising up-and-comer Zelina Vega for the women's championship.
I like that.
A clash of styles in this match.
Zelina Vega, by the way, just headlined NXT. Her against
Candice LeRae.
Yes.
Good
in,
match.
In the main events.
Yes.
So, I mean, good for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
A six-pack challenge for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Good Brothers defending their tag team titles against Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, the Undisputed Era. Also, New Day. And now a couple, again, creative liberties.
Okay.
Sheamus, as we know, has been dealing with a neck injury.
Yeah.
But he searched far and wide for a tag team partner for Cesaro. Mm-hmm. And we have, at WrestleMania, the return of KOW. The Kings of Wrestling are back. Cesaro and Cassius Ohno are in this tag team bout.
I like that.
And then,
Shelton
Benjamin, down on his luck, having a bit of a rough time.
Okay.
But dreams come true.
Yeah.
More specifically, Velveteen Dreams come true. Oh. Velveteen Dream and Shelton Benjamin. Unfortunately, fall victim to the Kings of Wrestling, who are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, as soon as you said it, I knew like that's the way that it kind of should go.
Yeah.
I like that. That's, you say creative liberty. I say like, that's some good, you know what there.
Thank you.
I like that.
The Raw Tag Team titles will be on the line in only a 4-way match.
Okay.
The Raw Tag Team Champions, off of a resurgence after being shaken up and put over on Raw, Breezango, take their titles. They're in for a tough one, though, as they take on The Revival, The Authors of Pain, and the recently debuted War Raiders.
Oh, wow.
Yes, who are War Machine
in
Japan and in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I have War Machine winning this one.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we got quite a few standoffs with them in AOP. It's going to be fun.
That was, okay, so kind of going away from this Mania card, when War Machine debuted on NXT, I immediately thought to myself, they need to be in a program with AOP.
Yeah.
Like War Machine and Authors of Pain, the physicality involved.
Oh, yeah. And they're all like, they're athletic big dudes.
Yes.
Like that would be, that would be a ton of fun. Yeah. I was thinking of just having them in there, those two with Breezango.
Yeah.
But I need The Revival on this card.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I played with the idea of having a tag team battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would have named it, which was honestly a reason why I didn't put it on.
The Edge and Christian Battle Memorial. Not even Memorial.
No, not Memorial. Yeah.
Battle Royale.
The Quebecers Battle Royale.
the high energy. What was Owen and...
It was high energy, right?
Yeah. High energy.
Yeah. With Owen and Coco Beware.
Yeah.
You're going
to precursor to Big E, Coco Beware.
You're going to like this one.
Okay.
Andrade Cien Almas.
Okay.
After a very strong run on SmackDown, saying he is the best high flyer in the WWE,
Rey Mysterio
gets challenged by Ricochet.
Rey
Mysterio, as far as I know, is not under contract.
I could not do that one.
So Ricochet against Andrade Cien Almas.
So Ricochet making his SmackDown. Like he's on the SmackDown roster. Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yeah, Almas was talking very big game about being the top high flyer in WWE, was on the top rope when Ricochet entered the Royal Rumble, Ricochet with the elimination, and that sparks the feud.
I like that. Should be a hell, dude, that would be a hell of a match.
That would be an amazing match,
right? Incredible
match. That was one of the first ones I wrote down, like, hey, this match.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, in his role as general manager, still for a year.
Yeah.
He caught the ire of a superstar, but not just any superstar, a glorious superstar. Okay. And so we get a rematch from Total Nonstop Action Wrestling as Bobby Roode goes one-on-one and picks up a victory over Kurt Angle.
Wow. Oh, wow. So Bobby Roode is turning heel then?
Yes, Bobby Roode is turning heel.
As he should be.
Yeah, totally, 100%.
As he should be.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, he wasn't getting the respect he thought he deserved over on the Raw side. We'll talk about why in a little bit.
Okay.
The Miz no longer has his Miztourage.
Yep.
Was trying to find one. And so he went looking to NXT, and he found the Undisputed Era.
Okay.
And the Undisputed Era use him to get into the WWE, and then they turn on the Miz. I don't know how to do this while keeping the Miz heel, but that's what happens. And we get Adam Cole against the Miz at WrestleMania.
Be a hell of a match.
The build would be phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Dude, the build and the promos, like, yeah, no, that would be excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
The United States Championship is on the line. Shinsuke Nakamura winning the United States title during the year. As he put actually Jeff Hardy on the shelf for a little bit.
Okay.
Was saying he was the most dangerous striker in all of WWE. I know this is playing off the Andrade Cien Almas one. Mm. I'm coming up with these off the top of my head. No one can hang with the King of Strong Style. Then the lights go, I would say, to black.
Yeah.
Aleister Black challenging Shinsuke Nakamura and winning the United States Championship in his first match on the main roster.
Wow. First match on the main roster, and he's going to make a Mania debut.
Yes.
Dude, that would be incredible. Just for...
That match would be remarkable.
The match itself would be... just something out of the planet.
Yeah.
But also the intros.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nakamura obviously has some of the, like, one of the best intros. And then Aleister Black with his music. Man.
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh, that would be good. Raw Women's title in a different place on the card. But same as yours. Charlotte against Ronda. Same scenario. Ronda wins the championship, and Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble. Yep. So we were on par with that one.
Yeah. It did not close out the show, did it?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, it did not close out the show. Oh, no, we still got a bit to go here.
Oh, wow.
The Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Finn Balor defending his Intercontinental title. He was having some troubles with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So Kurt Angle puts them in a match against Finn Balor for a triple threat match for the IC title. But then Drew McIntyre works his way into the fold. It is a fatal four-way that McIntyre... is victorious in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is the match that Bobby Roode is upset that he didn't get placed in. He jumps Kurt Angle, and that sparks the feud from earlier.
I like that. I really do. Now that McIntyre's on Raw, dude, 3MB is back in
town. Yes. I thought very hard about that. I thought really, really hard about a 3MB.
They're
all in the same show.
Yeah, dude. And that was the thing. So, like, for my... Intercontinental title thing. I had Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, and forget who it was. Anyways, I was thinking about putting like that into a 5 or 6 way.
Yeah.
Having Jinder and Drew McIntyre in there and then having them like face off and then starting a program again with Heath Slater possibly like running in for interference. So I like that. McIntyre wins the IC title.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Okay.
Seth Rollins takes on Dean Ambrose in a triple threat match against, with his manager Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
The Shield breaks up in front of our eyes after heel Roman Reigns turns on his brothers, starting dissension in the group. Roman wins this.
Mm-hmm.
Heel Roman with the win with help from Paul Heyman.
How would Paul Heyman help?
I don't know. He just helps. It's a no triple threat matches are inherently no disqualification matches.
I understand, but Paul Heyman's never been really I guess I'm basing it off of Brock Lesnar. Like he doesn't really help out Brock that much, but I guess Brock doesn't really need help. So
yeah,
all right.
There would be some help there.
So that triple threat, that's kind of like the scenario that I had, but at the end of the Universal title, where it sets up a triple threat down the road or throughout the year between these three.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Roman Reigns turns heel at the Greatest Royal Rumble with, again, help from Paul Heyman. And then, like, just absolutely terrorizes Rollins and Ambrose throughout the year, with even injuring Seth Rollins at some point in the year, setting up this comeback. Now we get into the two title matches.
Yep.
The Universal Championship is on the line.
Oh, it didn't close out the show.
No, it did not.
Oh, wow, okay.
Braun Strowman,
your
Universal Champion, goes up against Walking Armageddon Bobby Lashley.
Oh, wow.
In a big boy match.
The big boys.
I got Lashley winning, too.
Awesome. Oh, okay, wow. Yeah. Wow, we both got Lashley winning the Universal title.
All right. we're both big on Bobby Lashley.
As you should be. I mean, he's excellent.
And then the WWE Championship is on the line. His year-plus title reign in doubt as AJ Styles takes on Royal Rumble winner Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
But Samoa Joe worked his way into the match as well. It is a triple threat match.
Yep.
Styles, Joe, Daniels, Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of playing off the TNA one. And Daniel Bryan emerges victorious in this bout.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's my mania.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. A couple things I figured out during this, and we've talked about it a lot before, and I think we're both on the same page with this. There is enough talent on this roster right now
that they can make a third show.
You don't. Well, yes. That was one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
You could take literally every person on either of our shows
and
wipe them off the WWE roster and still have an amazing show.
Yeah.
That there is that much talent in the WWE right now.
Yep.
Like, it is, we talk about how frustrating creative is, and it is, but the talent level might be, and this is kind of a bold statement and maybe bolder than I want to be, that this might be all-time great levels of talent in WWE right now.
Wow.
In terms of in-ring talent, not star power.
Yeah.
And that's where you need the Triple H's and the John Cena's and the Shane McMahon.
Sure, sure.
But from that perspective, putting this together, I don't know if you need those guys anymore.
No. No, and that's why for me personally, I didn't even have Taker or Brock on my mania.
Yeah, me
neither.
Didn't
even have Cena on my mania either.
Yeah. This proved to me, we do not need, we knew this before, we've talked about this before, do not need Brock Lesnar.
No.
Triple H and Shane McMahon don't need a match at Mania every year.
No, absolutely not.
I'm sure, like, we could have, like, if we would have made that mandatory, I'm sure we could have worked around it.
Yeah.
But, like, there's just so much talent, you don't need those guys on these shows.
No.
There's enough. So that was kind of the big takeaway for me.
Yeah.
From this whole process was you don't need those guys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have them, and it certainly helps. It certainly helps the star power, but
there's enough talent there. Already.
There's enough talent there already.
Yeah.
Like you have Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a rather big sell. You have Kurt Angle. It's a face that people know. You have Hardy and Jericho as well, faces people know.
Yep.
So I don't know if you need those guys.
No.
I really don't.
No, and they're getting to that level right now, for me anyways, of Brock and Taker, where I get sick of watching them. Especially Shane in the ring, like I've ranted about it before. Not the best.
No.
Those some worst worked punches in the business.
Yeah.
And he's so old now, like, dude, just rest. Just take it. You got kids, man.
Yeah.
Come on now.
He's got kids. So that is how we would set things up for WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
I think we can do these types of things again. Like, getting ready for, like, the big four pay-per-views.
I'll tell you right now, like,
I want to do SummerSlam next week.
sure. If you want to do that, that's fine. But, like, me being, like, a huge Japanese pro wrestling mark that I am.
Yeah.
I already have, like, things in my mind that I booked for this entire year for New Japan.
Okay.
So I love doing this stuff.
Yeah.
It's so much fun for me.
You already have a match for WrestleMania 36 with the triple threat of Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, yeah, well, for me anyways, I also have Samoa Joe beating Daniel Bryan and becoming like a number one contender moving forward.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I have Rusev as a number one contender. Yeah. So yeah, like, again, there is a ton of talent.
Yep.
Right now in WWE. What will you guys do with that talent? We get to the listener reaction.
Yes.
What were your WrestleMania cards? We had a few of them come in, so we'll get to those, and we'll talk Superstar Shakeup when we come back to Combat Central here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We've had our say. What do you guys want to see at WrestleMania 35? We now take the listener feedback on our shows. I got to say, I like both of them. There was a couple of mine that I wasn't totally sold on, but you reacted well to.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that.
I think one of the weakest ones that I kind of booked for myself was the Women's Battle Royal with Carmella winning. But I justify it with I implemented different things like cash-in, Money in the Bank cash-in,
yeah,
Women's Royal Rumble. So it kind of all worked out for me in the end, just looking at it. And then, yeah, there were a few things that I would love to see Rusev, and I would love to see McIntyre in the main event title matches.
Yeah.
But it was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to do this instead.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, we want 100 different guys to get chances at the title, and it's like, there's only two title matches.
Yep.
And thank God there's two.
Yeah.
Like, it's tricky.
Yeah.
It is tricky. So now, let's get to the fan feedback ones. A couple people sent in full-on top-to-bottom cards,
like,
so we will get to those first. At Pucks to the Net, Russian Poke Check, sending it to me via direct message.
Oh,
also,
slid into your DMs.
Yes, I forgot to mention this, because I don't have my DMs open, but you can send the request, and this particular person did, and I do tend to forget about them. Mm. So to going back to our December shows, best of the year, WWE champions from Calgary with Natty and Jinder in 2017. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I didn't put that together, but yeah, that is a best of the year. So thank you to that Pucks to the Net.
Yeah.
So now I read it. I promise I read it. I just I forgot.
Yeah.
So your WrestleMania 35 card. We're breaking rules with one of these.
Okay.
Use the Young Bucks.
that was your biggest rule to me. You were just can't have Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah, he went, or I shouldn't say he, I don't know.
They
went Golden, or just geez, Young Bucks against the Revival.
FTR.
Yeah, which is perfect.
Yeah.
But this WrestleMania 35 card, Daniel Bryan against Chris Jericho.
Oh, wow.
I like that. And this one fits the criteria. Kevin Owens against The Rock. Rock is technically affiliated with WWE.
He is.
That works.
That works, but...
Be a good match.
Yeah.
Great promos.
Oh, hell of a promo. My goodness. Yeah.
This one I'm not a huge fan of. Nakamura against Ziggler. We've kind of seen that already.
Yeah,
but you could reverse the roles. You would have heel Nakamura, babyface Ziggler, which might actually honestly work better for both men working a match.
Yeah,
together.
A little bit, but it would be a bit awkward now that Ziggler's on Raw, so...
Nah, you can make it work.
Yeah.
Triple threat match, Seth Rollins against Ricochet against Johnny Gargano.
Wow. A lot of talent in that ring right there.
Sign me up for that one. Asuka against Ronda Rousey, so we're going with a bit of a different look on the women's side, but I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Another one going after me, AJ Styles against Neville.
Mm.
How good would that be?
That would be excellent.
I like this one.
There has to be... Okay, so if that match were to happen, in my mind, there would be like a ladder match or something like that, just so both guys can just showcase how really, really good they are in the air.
Yeah.
Especially Neville, because in my opinion, I've said it before, Neville's the greatest high flyer on the planet right now.
I have him second.
Well, here's the thing. The only reason why people are, are saying that he's second or third or whatever, he's wrestled in a WWE format for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go back and look at some of his stuff from Japan or from Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Totally. Yes.
Insane.
I still go Ricochet.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ricochet is just, some of the stuff he does is out of this
world. And I mean, people can say Will Ospreay as well.
Totally.
But this match, AJ Styles versus Neville, I'd need to put some type of stipulation, like a tables match or TLC or whatever.
Yeah, just to see the more high flying.
Yeah.
For sure. I like this one. It wouldn't happen. It would never happen. But I like this one. Mm. Corey Graves against Booker T.
If I see you on the street.
Yeah. I saw this one. This came in 3 days before we were taping this. I saw it. I looked at this and I was like, I could do Team Corey against Team Booker somewhere in here and do a 5-on-5 type of thing for the announcing spot on Raw or something like that. I thought about doing that with a GM thing as well, but I.
Yeah. I think that's when it gets a little too...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Finn Balor against Drew McIntyre.
Oof.
I like that a lot.
Couple of Euro guys.
McIntyre can have so many good matches for a good dude.
And like, now that he's back, and okay, so now we're going to touch on the superstar shakeup pretty soon here, but now that he's back, like him being on Raw and Almas being on SmackDown, if they ever meet, like let's just say in the Rumble or something like that, dude, there are going to be some sparks, and people are going to be like, NXT, NXT. Yeah.
I could see both of them being, because I would imagine that the Money in the Bank match will be co-branded.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everything.
With three, I know, like, every pay-per-view is co-branded, as we got a five-minute lip-sync about it.
Yeah, right?
But, jeez. It was relatively entertaining, but didn't need to.
So, I've been hearing that WWE wants to put the Money in the Bank as their next big, like, part of the big four, essentially. Yeah. So they want to make it a big five. That to me makes perfect sense. You have you have people from both, both brands.
I would
men's and women's too.
If it were me, I would have one match. Like one match each. And like three from Raw, three from SmackDown, but then winner can cash on either.
Yeah.
You know, like that's fine. That's what I would do. And then in that, I think you would get McIntyre, Almas, and you would have kind of their AJ Styles Nakamura moment in that. And this one, the main event, Braun Strowman against Adam Cole. I like that a lot.
It's ballsy.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Adam Cole would be so good for Braun to just be able to throw around, but then Adam Cole gets some offense back in it as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, we saw Adam Cole get thrown around by, well, we're seeing it right now with some of the big, big boys in NXT. Saw it in the War Games, too, like some of the bumps that guy took. My goodness.
Also, on that note, I know you're not as big into him as I am, but I was trying to get Killian Dane on this card somewhere, and I couldn't make it work.
It's not that I hate Killian Dane.
Oh, no, I didn't say you hate him. You're not on my level on Killian Dane.
No. Not yet, I guess, but...
Another one.
Big old Damo.
This one sent to us by a colleague of ours at City News, Michael Lumsden, at Lumsden News.
How you doing, Mikey?
He tweets at us. You have Almas against Adam Cole for the United States Championship.
Ooh, okay.
For the WWE Championship, Styles against Nakamura again.
Mm-hmm.
You have Rollins against Ambrose in a street fight.
Okay.
The Demon Finn Balor against Aleister Black.
Yeah, like the visuals.
Yeah. Oh, like that. Flair Asuka 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Fish and O'Reilly against the Usos.
That'd be a good match.
Dillinger against Gargano against Ciampa.
Oh, no 205ers for them, huh?
No. the Revival against the Club for the Raw Tag Team titles. I think you put this together before the brand split thing. He again has the sensational Sherry Battle Royal and the Andre the Giant Battle. Does not have winners for either of them.
Oh, okay.
And the main event for the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley, Rusev.
I
like that.
Triple threat.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
A couple other ones here that just had notes attached to them. AJ Styles against Daniel Bryan was the only thing this person sent in.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's great.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. I like the idea of a four-hour AJ Styles against Daniel Bryan match. This is WrestleMania. These guys.
Screw it.
Yes.
It's going to go 10 hours regardless anyway. Yeah. So.
At J_H31 sent that one in. And at Tommy Culp, I want to see an epic iron match between the Phenomenal One, AJ Styles, and Seth freaking Rollins. I originally was going to say Bryan versus AJ, but Seth brings more athleticism. Maybe Finn Balor versus Daniel Bryan. I also want a Miz title run somehow. Don't know how that would look. It would look awesome.
It would look awesome.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
I kind of forgot to mention in mine, when I had the... triple threat or four-way for the U.S. title on my Mania card.
Yeah,
I had The Miz in there as well. So I forgot to mention, after looking at what I wrote down on my phone, after the match, like, Rusev wins, right? Comes in as champ, comes out as champ. But after the match, this builds, they stick the rocket up Miz, and he's now in the title picture as well. So throughout the year, that's how I would build it.
Right. Miz is another one who I wanted in a main title match, absolutely. But it was tough to do that.
Miz, Finn Balor, like it was tough, but I like how mine ended. So.
So now the possibilities of Miz change because he is on SmackDown. So we'll talk about the superstar shakeup.
Yeah.
What did you think, Raw and SmackDown? Well, how did you like the whole process and the week that was in WWE?
The whole process, you know, it was fun. It's surprising because it keeps you being like, oh, okay, I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I totally believe that SmackDown won this.
Yeah.
Their roster became infinitely better now.
Yeah. And it was great before.
It was.
Again, roster has never been the problem.
No.
Like we talk about coaching things here.
Sure, yeah.
This one's on the coaching. This one's not on roster construction.
No.
On SmackDown. But no, I agree. It got better. And it got better late. Like, we got like an hour and a half in the show. I was like, this is kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Hardy was cool. It's Samoa Joe. Yeah. It's like, hey, that's awesome. And then it was just like, bang, bang, bang. Mm. It was like, oh. Dang,
dude!
Okay,
I was not expecting Samoa Joe to be on there.
No,
to be honest,
no, and, not at all.
And okay, so he had that match with Kalisto, I think.
Yeah,
or
Sin Cara.
Sin Cara, whatever. He had that match, destroyed Sin Cara. After that, I think he's one of the only ones that can actually do this on any roster right now in WWE. Him or maybe even Kevin Owens. He cut a promo promoting. Like the greatest Royal Rumble and then Battleground or whatever it is.
Backlash
after that. And then he cut another promo, just destroying the roster. He is the best at that.
Oh, yeah.
Only him and I think Kevin Owens could have pulled that off.
Yeah, I agree.
Samoa Joe, like just.
And his promos sound different than everyone else's, right? Like with most of the guys, there's a couple of them who aren't, but with most of the guys, it's like. You memorized.
Yeah. Oh,
these are lines that, but like Samoa Joe with the snarl he gets and the way he, if those promos are written for him word for word, mm-hmm. this guy has a long career as an actor after this.
Oh, 100%.
Because he just delivers all of them as if it's his own words. It's the exact same as his promos in TNA when he was doing them on his own.
And if you've ever heard any of his podcasts or any of his interviews or whatever it is, super well spoken individual.
Yeah. You can tell by the verbiage that he uses and the way he constructs his promos and stuff like that. Like it is art.
Yeah.
And some people aren't for the big yelling 80s style promo, but if only one guy's doing it, stands out.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I think he knocked it out of the park with that promo, like promoting three different things. And did it so well. So again, like he can do it. And I think Kevin Owens is probably the only other person who can do it. Because Kevin Owens is another guy where when he slows it down, when he talks, people start listening.
That promo that Kevin Owens had going into the Goldberg feud, where just the spotlight is on him.
Yeah,
just,
because that was right after the Festival of Friendship. Like
that was the week after. Yeah.
And that's where he was just like, finally, the spotlight is on me.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
Yeah.
So running through things here, we're talking about SmackDown. We may as well stick there. The Miz moves to SmackDown. I like how they played that up a little bit. Also, I want to say they at least explained it this time, where it was like the two GMs sat down and figured it out.
Yep.
I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Instead of last year, it's like, this guy's on the show.
Yeah.
So we get Miz, Samoa Joe, Asuka. They play it up as a surprise, but I mean, like, she was there anyway.
Writing was on the wall.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy, after winning the U.S. title on Raw, comes over to SmackDown with it. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah,
that
was
really cool.
Yeah. Caught you off guard.
Yeah. This one surprised the hell out of me. The Bar.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Cesaro moving over to SmackDown.
That's another one where it's just like they've been building them up so, so frequently over on Raw.
They're in the Raw tag team title match.
And that's what I'm like. It's going to be very, like, strange and interesting to see how they do this at the greatest Royal Rumble and moving forward. You know,
I hope one of the, like, I hope one brand ends up with no titles of something, you know, like whether it's Samoa Joe taking the Intercontinental title to SmackDown and they have both secondary ones, or the Bar taking the Raw tag team titles over to SmackDown. Just like, it would be unpredictable and it'd be fun to see how they would play that out after.
I don't know if they can do that with titles though, like the tag titles.
Yeah, I mean, because one's red,
like one's red, and one's blue, right?
But then you could have like unification mat or whatever. Like,
I guess,
you could play it off in a few different ways. Andrade Cien Almas is coming to SmackDown
with Zelina Vega.
Yes, as I discussed earlier, a future number one contender.
Future number Zelina one Vega. Contender. Yeah.
We also have Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose going over, joining Absolution leader, I guess. Paige, now the SmackDown GM. I would kind of like to see them be Paige's muscle when dealing with the women's division.
Not only that, but I figure like they're probably going to use Paige in a way that favors them. Like, oh, we get tag or we get title matches left, right, and center because, you know, we're friends with the boss, essentially.
I wonder if we start to see Paige kind of drift in a heel direction with that.
A little bit,
But yeah, I would like to see them use this kind of like a 3-minute warning style thing with the women's division. Yeah. We also have Sanity. It's mentioned Chaos is coming. Also, no Nikki Cross on the
promo. Nikki Cross. And I think that is because NXT right now, like their women's division, they basically only have two major, major stars, that being Kairi Sane and
Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler. So this way, it's still like they still have another person in the mix.
See, and that's my one problem with NXT. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's there for.
No.
It is there to develop talent and get them ready for the main roster. Nikki Cross has been ready for the main roster for 2 years.
Definitely.
And her character, without Sanity, is just weird.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't like about this. It's like, oh, you don't have enough of it? Figure it out.
Yeah.
Make more. You know, like you have Bianca Belair there who's going to be quite good.
Sure.
You have Candice LeRae who can be very good as well.
Yep.
They just let, she was Abby Lath or something like that, but Kimberly with them. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Tessa Blanchard in WWE at some point. But that's not what NXT is there for. I get they're touring with it and stuff like that. Have a year-long build with Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane then.
Yep.
Don't keep Nikki Cross from the main roster just because it doesn't fit with NXT.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're doing, though.
It totally is.
Yeah.
The Good Brothers on their way over to SmackDown.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I kind of don't like that they're being broken up from Finn now.
I didn't like that at all because, again, I've said it before so much. Like, at the start of the year, we finally got Balor Club.
Yeah.
Finally. And then for the last month or so, it's just been like, oh, okay, well, where are they?
Yeah.
What's happening here? Yeah. And now they're off to SmackDown joining AJ Styles. So,
Big Cass is over on the SmackDown side now. Yeah. He interrupts a Daniel Bryan promo, which it looks like that would be where they would be going, which isn't what I would do. But if anyone's going to get a good match out of Big Cass, it'll be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Never really been a huge Big Cass fan.
No.
No.
No, I'm not. Not big on that one either. R-Truth is over on SmackDown. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I didn't get the Ty Dillinger tie-in with things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still a funny segment.
Yeah.
And I legitimately didn't know that Sin Cara was a superstar shakeup. When he showed up in the ring, I was like,
I thought he was on SmackDown already.
Is he one? Because I don't know.
No.
On the Raw side, a lot of these named on WWE.com after, which I did not appreciate.
No.
Jinder Mahal moves over to Raw. That was a pretty big one. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I liked that and playing up the Stephanie McMahon thing.
Love that. Love Sami Zayn because he was hilarious. It puts on the glasses, clears his throat, and just starts reading it. And it was just like, man, you're so funny.
His face when Miz was moved over. Yeah. Back
Or when they were introduced into the ring, they just all start hugging and jumping and stuff.
Yeah.
Starting the yep movement again.
Yeah. We get Ziggler with Drew McIntyre. That'll be a fun team. And
that'll be a fun
team. Rather depleted, all of a sudden, Raw tag team division.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Natty Neidhart moves over to Monday Night Raw.
Apparently turning face.
Yes, apparently turning face. All you need to do is be a friend of Ronda Rousey to turn face. In a segment that will lead to nothing as Absolution is over on SmackDown now. Baron Corbin is making his way to Raw. As that promo played, that vignette played, my fiance goes, oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh.
The only reason why I had him winning on My Mania was just because the bigger picture in that match, in that no DQ match between him and Seth Rollins, was Seth and Dean.
Yeah.
That was basically what it was used for. But still not a huge fan of Baron Corbin.
No.
No.
Bobby Roode is over on Raw. I like how he was presented as a main event player.
Yes. Yeah, with the entrance and all that stuff.
Yeah, he gets the last spot in the main event with the biggest stars on the show, basically. Yeah.
And during that match, all the crowd wanted was Braun. That's all they wanted.
Yep.
You know?
We also get the Riot Squad over on Raw. And then afterward, we find out Mojo Rawley is going over to Monday Night Raw. Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that is going to set up an American Alpha something, either a feud or...
I booked it.
Yeah, so did I. Zack Ryder is over on Raw, as are The Ascension. Breezango, I forgot to write that one down. Breezango are on Raw as well. And Mike Kanellis moving to Monday Night Raw.
Speaking of Breezango, just heard snippets of them on the ENC Pod of Awesomeness.
Okay.
Holy crap, are Breezango hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, they're good.
Like,
they were on Jericho, I think, a little bit ago. They were really
like
good.
Like, Fandango, just as himself, is one of the funniest people on the roster.
Some of their stories are hilarious.
Absolutely.
So that is the Superstar Shakeup, as well as the fan involvement on WrestleMania 35 booking. Time for us to take a break here on the show. When we come back, I think we've talked enough pro wrestling. I think we've covered most stuff. There was a Fight of the Year contender UFC on Fox last weekend. We will talk about that. And once again, weigh-in madness, as the weigh-ins are undefeated this year, it feels like. We will talk about more weigh-in troubles as we get ready for another UFC event coming up a little bit later on today on Combat Central, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We're into April, and we already have a Fight of the Year contender, to the surprise of no one when we saw this match made. Welcome back, everyone. Peter Klein, G. Rana with you as we move into the world of mixed martial arts, as the UFC on Fox delivered, I would say, a rather entertaining night of fights.
Definitely.
From Glendale, Arizona. In the main event, Dustin Poirier, with one of the more complete performances of his career, defeats Justin Gaethje by knockout, the finish coming 33 seconds into round number four. I loved how, Poirier was basically volume punching with power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the technique was phenomenal. Yep. I would have liked a few more body shots, and you want to, check one leg kick at any point. You know, it's in the side.
Yeah, you see pictures of it afterwards on Twitter, and it's just black and purple, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was
it reminded me of my kickboxing days.
Oh yeah? You ever get beat up to the leg like that, or you figured out how to check leg kick?
I have when I first started kickboxing. So backstory, 200 amateur kickboxing matches that I've been
in.
And when I first started, barely knew how to check.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I was like, that hurts, man.
Yeah.
Coach, help me out, you know?
Yeah, let's drill that next time.
Come on now.
For Dustin Poirier, he calls out Nurmagomedov after for a title fight. Yeah. I don't hate it. Ferguson's probably going to be out of what? Speaking of legs that look gnarly.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. That looked like, you know how WWE shows the pictures where they have, the person's leg cut open and then it's sewn up? That looks like they just forgot to sew it up.
Yeah.
Like that's how bruised and bad the skin around it looks. Yeah. Like that he's going to be out a while.
Yeah.
I don't, if you can't get Connor out of jail and you can't rebuild Tony's leg quick enough, I don't hate Dustin Poirier against Khabib Nurmagomedov.
My initial thoughts were just like, come on now. Like, yeah, you just won it. Probably the best fight of the year right now, but come on now, you're not on his level. But again, when you look at all the factors involved, it's just like, all right.
Yeah.
I would love to see Nurmagomedov fight again. I don't know if he's going to take the fight, though.
Yeah. If I'm, it depends what he's thinking. Because, if he's wanting more money, it's going to be a while before he's fighting again.
Yeah.
And this is where you get into the tricky thing. Like, with guys like Khabib and guys, and fighters like Cyborg, and just dominant champions in general, we tend to not look at, do they deserve the title shot?
Mm-hmm.
We look at, could they hang with the champion?
Yeah.
And the answer, in most cases, is no.
No.
Like, there are two guys right now, Connor and
Ferguson. Yeah.
I think Poirier has at least earned the right to get his ass kicked.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if that's how you want to put it, then definitely.
That's basically what I'm... this is a win over Gaethje and a win over Anthony Pettis, albeit under weird circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You have the weird one with Eddie Alvarez. If they choose to bring that one back, that would be ideal if Khabib wants to wait for a little bit.
Yeah.
Bring back an Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier fight. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest win of Poirier's career. I think he's earned a title shot.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
For Gaethje now,
mm-hmm.
we're kind of seeing that this is kind of treading down one of those paths. Like, actually, Poirier was just on where it's very good fighter loses to great.
Yep.
His only loss is to Eddie Alvarez and to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, he is. He's basically becoming almost a Carlos Condit of sorts.
Very much so. Yeah, that's a apt comparison considering who's on this card as well.
Yeah.
This is one where You've given him two tough fights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him an easy one.
Yep.
Let's give him someone he's going to knock.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like just kind of give that back to him after a great run here.
Like, let me preface it by saying there are no easy fights in mixed martial arts at all.
No,
but
in the lightweight division, in the UFC especially.
Yeah, no. But you always have to look at skill-wise as well. Like, yes, anything can happen. Anybody can get caught with whatever. But skill-wise, yeah, maybe give him not one of the best skill guys.
Yeah, not if it's a top, if it's a ranked fighter, it's toward the bottom of the rank. let's get this guy back on his feet a little bit,
because
he has delivered a lot. It must drive his coaches insane that he doesn't shoot a double leg ever.
Right?
Dude's a collegiate wrestler.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Use your bread and butter. And this is what I always tell anybody who wants, like, because sometimes I get questions, you know, just random people or people that I meet at the library or whatever it is. You know, I've always wanted to get into mixed martial arts, or I've always wanted to train in mixed martial arts. How do I start? I always tell people this, like, what is your athletic background? You know, did you ever wrestle as a kid? Did you ever, you know, play basketball? Whatever it is. Kind of use that as your bread and butter. Like, let's just say if you played football or you know, basketball or whatever, odds are you have great endurance, you know, just athletic in general.
Yeah.
Play to that. Like, use what got you in the game in the first place, you know? And that's what, like, Gaethje needs to do. Like, come on, man. You have a great wrestling base.
Yeah, but he just refuses. And, I mean, it worked for him for a long time in World Series of Fighting.
Yes. Yeah.
This isn't that anymore, sir. And he has found that out in his last two bouts. You mentioned Carlos Condit. He gets choked out by Alex Oliveira in the second round. Yeah. A huge win for Alex Oliveira.
Massive.
Condit didn't look great, but didn't look bad. He's not the natural born killer of old.
No.
We understand this. He's one where I'm not going to tell him he needs to retire.
No.
But if he did, I'd be like, yeah, no, that works.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I said it even in last week's show. I always complain when fighters don't hang it up or don't retire. But you always have to look at it from the fighter's perspective. Fighting is sometimes all they have going for them, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, some of them, quite frankly, haven't made enough money in the sport to be able to comfortably retire.
Yeah, like Brandon Schaub, he had a hell of a story about him and Mirko Krokop afterwards.
Yes.
Where Brandon was just like, or Krokop was just like, you know what? This is what we do. And Brandon was just like, is it though?
Yeah, like he looks at his paycheck and like,
Do I really want to do this? So I understand. Like, I get it from both sides. But yeah, with Condit, he's lost a step.
Yeah. Oh, he lost a couple, I think. But for Oliveira, one of the bigger wins of his
career.
Definitely. Israel Adesanya with a split decision win over Marvin Vettori. How any judge saw two of these rounds for Marvin Vettori, I will never understand.
No.
But this was a learning experience, I think, for Adesanya. We got to see what a lot of the hype was about.
Yep.
But we also got to see there's stuff to work on for the young kickboxer.
There's some frustration there, and I can easily just see it in his face.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, he was quite upset.
Yep.
But I mean, he has an impressive kickboxing resume. He is a kickboxing champion, mm-hmm. or at least the title contender anyway. Gotta drill the wrestling a little bit. And to be fair, he showed some good takedown defense in the first couple rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as you get into those grind fights, into those 15 minutes, and eventually, I think for this kid, into 25-minute fights.
Yeah.
I say kid, he's actually older than I am. But as we get into those types of things for this guy, how is your take? Like, it's cool to defend a takedown in the first 10 minutes. How about those last 15?
Yep. Gotta keep on it.
Yeah.
Gotta keep on it.
And Michelle Waterson with a very close split decision over Courtney Casey. This one, a good fight. Like, there was a lot of this on this card. It was just like evenly matched fights most of the way through.
Yep.
It was a pretty fun card. And we see it here. Michelle Waterson picks up the win. I don't have my scorecard in front of me. I don't believe. I believe I had that reversed. I think I had Courtney Casey. I brought the wrong notebook. But Courtney Casey, this is another one where she is going to feel like she was on the screwed over end of a split decision.
Yep.
I thought she used her size very well. Mm-hmm. It was very apparent early on. I was like, oh, this is a fight where there is one person who probably could fight at 125 coming down to 115 against someone who has fought at 105 coming up to 115.
Yeah.
But, ooh, okay. But credit to Michelle Waterson. Her movement was great. Obviously, the striking is going to be there. This was just two skilled fighters having a fight for 15 minutes.
Yep. And it's great for the division.
Totally.
It's great for this because, again, we've talked about it before. It's a very fledgling division right now. It needs some work. So.
Yeah, but I would say of the women's divisions, it's probably the best.
Yeah, one. Yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah. We also, on the undercard real quick, we saw Antonio Carlos Jr. defeat Tim Boach by submission victory, an impressive showing there. I really liked John Moraga against Wilson Hayes. I thought that was a fantastic fight. Brad Tavares with a surprising knockout win. Christoph Jocko was the hot thing in the middleweight division for a minute there, and it just has not gone well for him since then. But a huge win for Brad Tavares. Yep. On the Fight Pass prelims, Yushin Okami getting a win. 30-26 is across the board. Kicking it old school against Diego Lima. Who, also a rough one for Arjun Buller, who falls by way of omoplata. You don't see that a whole lot.
I was just going to say, especially in the heavyweight division, too.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That is.
I couldn't defend it, but...
I'm
not trying to be in the UFC either.
No.
Coming up a little bit later on tonight, we are right up against it here, but coming up tonight is now a catchweight bout at 157 pounds as the weight scale gets the better of Kevin Lee. It'll be him against Edson Barboza. Also on this, Aspen Ladd in a fight at women's bantamweight weighed in at 137.8 pounds. Leslie Smith just like, hey, didn't make the weight. We're not fighting. Deuces. Gets her show money because she weighed in. Gets her win money because the opponent and was like, no, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, I don't blame her.
Yeah.
Opponents who have missed weight, I believe I was, I need to get the name right on this one for sure. But someone tweeted out, Mike Bond tweeting out that fighters who have missed weight, 9-1 in the last 10 fights.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So if my opponent misses weight. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Or dudette. Mm. Not doing it.
No.
I'll take my show money. I'm getting my money. Yeah. Cool. I'm out.
Yeah.
I have no problem with this whatsoever.
I'm out, and you know what? I'll be on your next card, or I'll step in for whatever, because I'm still in fight shape right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they have the next one is the pay-per-view coming up May 12th, so we have a bit of a break. If someone happens to step out of this one...
Bump me in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally. Cut down to fight Amanda Bobby Cooper or Mackenzie Dern. Why not? Go for it. Also on this, you get Frankie Edgar against Cub Swanson. Quickly, pick for Lee versus Barboza. Good fight.
Barboza.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm leaning towards Barboza.
They're both coming off of being rather soundly defeated by either champions or, I guess, both champions, really. I feel like Kevin Lee is just better than Barboza. I haven't seen Barboza do it against good enough competition for me to think that he's going to be able to do it against Lee.
To be fair, though, Barboza is coming off of losses to Khabib and Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so absolutely.
It's not like, he's lost to such and such. Or,
no.
No names
and like
or whatever.
He's beat Dariush. He's beat Melendez. He's beat Pettis. He's beat Felder.
Yeah.
Like, he has beat some good guys. Yep. I'm not seeing it against Kevin Lee. I think Kevin Lee picks up the win here. Frankie Edgar against Cub Swanson. I hate that Frankie Edgar is fighting.
Still.
Yeah. Recently, so quickly. It's what, 45 days?
My God.
After getting drilled by Brian Ortega?
After seeing a Frankie Edgar I don't think I'd ever see.
No.
Ever.
A knocked out Frankie Edgar at the hands of a guy who's a grappler.
Oof.
And I get he's improved on his boxing and Brian Ortega is incredibly talented, but not known for knocking people out. That knocked him out.
That was a scary ass picture to watch out the woods. Yeah.
And now he's fighting against a guy who likes to throw him.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I get putting him on jersey. He's fighting in front of his home crowd for the first time in, I think, 10 years or something like this. I hate it. I really hate this. I think he wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he gets knocked out, though, that's scary. Yeah. That's very concerning.
Excuse me. Wow.
That's fine. You're all choked up about it.
I am. Dude, it's Frankie Edgar. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Legend of the sport. Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Again, it goes back to, what I was saying. Like, I see it from both ends.
Oh, yeah, I see why he would want to.
And, but at the same time, I'm always looking out for the health of fighters.
Yeah.
Always. Because my health is not the best right now because I fought as well. And so I don't want to see Edgar, if he loses in dramatic fashion the way that he lost in his previous fight.
Yeah, that's rough.
Please, just...
But again...
Just stop, man.
This promoters shouldn't be promoting this.
No, absolutely not.
And
no.
What is the commission doing letting this happen?
Yeah. like you mentioned, promoters. He's on the damn poster for.
Oh yeah, no. Like, I mean, if you're gonna use him, like, use him
definitely. But like again, look out for the health of these fighters, and the promoters aren't doing this. You mentioned the commission; they're not doing a damn thing about this because again, guy is coming off like 45 day insane.
Yeah. Also on this, Chase Sherman takes on Justin Willis, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
No.
David Branch against Thiago Santos. Aljamain Sterling against Brett Johns. I'm really looking forward to this fight, a lightweight. Dan Hooker is quietly putting together a pretty good run here.
Yeah.
He's taking on Jim Miller on the prelims. Ryan LaFlair against Alex Garcia. You have Siahar Bahadurzada in action. Corey Anderson against Patrick Cummins. Not a bad free one for a Saturday night.
Nope.
So, again, no problem with this. And then after that, we get a couple weeks off before UFC 224, May 12th in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Amanda Nunes against Raquel Pennington is on the top of that one. But overall, a fun night of fights last weekend, and I can't imagine it's going to be a whole lot different this weekend.
Nope.
So that's what's going on in the mixed martial arts world. What's going on in boxing?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to chat with Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short. Tickets on sale for Dakota Premier Fight Night, May 26th at the Grey Eagle Event Center. Get your tickets now for that. We will chat with him about that, as well as the Adrian Broner bout coming up a little bit later on tonight. So we will hear from him when we come back to Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Dakota is back May 26th as another card in Calgary, another step in the progression of boxing in our city. Tickets are on sale now, and here to help us break it all down, it is Mr. Boxing in Calgary. Michael Short joining the program today. Mr. Boxing, how are you today?
Hey, doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be on the Fan 960 at Combat Central.
Always a pleasure to have you, sir. Mm-hmm. So, again, tickets on sale now. Grey Eagle Resort and Casino Boxing back in our city. What are some of the names that people could be looking forward to seeing when they get a ticket for the show coming up late in May?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the last event obviously featured Zab Super Judah, six-time world champion. He was the star of the show, and everybody knew it. But what emerged out of that event were the two local guys, Devin Reddy and Gwen Lewis. And they stole the show. They were fight of the night, for sure. So we've also got the reemergence of Country Candy Wyatt. She's one of the top female athletes in the world right now in women's boxing, and she's going to move really, really fast.
Yeah, Candy Wyatt is a name that when you talk about boxing in Calgary and female boxing in this country, that name comes up right away.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about her style and her abilities that makes her stand out above the rest?
Well, you know, it comes down to her pedigree. You know, she spent the time in the amateurs. I think she was amateur for 10 years, and she's got a record, something like 55 wins, 5 losses. She fought at the national level. A lot of the top prospects that are rated in the world right now, she beat them in the amateurs. And so that's the deal with women's boxing. You either have some of them that can really, really fight and they go for it, or some that, you know, just shouldn't really be in a pro ring. But Candy's one of the top in the world, and we'd have no problem putting her in against anybody right now.
I would imagine then the issue becomes finding anybody to take on that challenge.
Yeah, it's always a challenge. You know, even with Gwen Lewis and Devin Reddy, thankfully for us, we got somebody from Edmonton willing to step up and face Gwen Lewis. You know, he had a tough start. He fought 1-1. Then he fought a 3-0 guy from Mexico that brought the fire. And now he's going against his second undefeated fighter in a row out of Edmonton in Robbie Cousine. He fights for KO Boxing. And yep, we're actually doing business together with KO Boxing. And, you know, Devin Reddy, let's face it, that guy, oh, man, 90-plus amateur fights, national champion. And same thing, you know, nobody wants to fight him in the West. Possibly a couple fights for him in the East, but only if there's a title on the line. And we'll be looking at for, you know, probably this fall for Devin Reddy. Candy Wyatt, well, nobody. You got to search the globe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned in there doing some business with KO Boxing up in Edmonton. It's no secret among the local boxing community that is not always a relationship that has been a great one. But you guys are coming together here for the next little bit. We got a bit of a Battle of Alberta brewing, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. You know, it was supposed to be two fighters facing two of our fighters, but one of them just couldn't cut it and put it together for this event. So, you know, we'll look to do that fight in the future. But Gwyn Lewis taking on Robbie Cousin, you know. Beauty part about this, let me tell you, Robbie Cousin holds a win over Gwyn Lewis in the amateurs, and it was recent. So Gwyn is really putting it on the line here in his hometown crowd and putting the pressure on to go out there and defeat Robbie, you know, at the early stage of their pro careers. They're both 2-0.
Nice. Yeah, no, that sounds like a very intriguing matchup for sure. Also on this card, noteworthy with the addition of K-1 style kickboxing back in Calgary.
Yeah, you know what? We've done K-1 style kickboxing twice in the past. It's been a fan favorite. One measure that I use is you take an old school coach like Doug Harder, and he asks for it to come back. He tells me, Mike, you got to have that K-1 stuff. People love it. You know, they really, it's dynamic, it's explosive, it's fun, and there's no clinching allowed. So they literally got a punch, kick, knee, elbow for three-minute rounds. And yeah, it's great. We're going to have a few amateur fights on it and one professional fight. We're bringing in Mr. Peter Arbeau. He's a local guy. He's been, you know, a dozen years with Mike Miles, and he's off doing pro fights now. So we're going to put him in and see what he can do. Put him in tough, though, so we'll see.
Well, anyone who fights on these cards is usually in tough. Some very good matchmaking for Dakota, and we'll see that May 26 as we chat with Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short, here on Combat Central and Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Peter Klein. He's G Rana.
Michael, it's G here. So going back to the whole K-1 thing, is this something that you guys can continue on moving forward and putting on more K-1 fights in some of your cards? Because me, I love K-1. I did it in Thailand for a few months there, and I love that stuff. So is that something that you guys will continue on in the future?
Yeah, you know what? We're all about action, right? So you got to appreciate even some of the MMA stuff and, you know, boxing and kickboxing, Muay Thai. It's all action. And, you know, if it's pleasing to the fans, if they want to see this kind of stuff, we're going to do it. There's lots of local athletes here, and, you know, let's put them in the ring. You know, they want to fight, they want to compete, and that's who we want to deal with. So whether it be K-1 style kickboxing or professional boxing, you know, we've even dabbled a little bit in the amateur events too, with amateur boxing on the undercard of a Dakota show. So we just want to promote a great evening of entertainment that goes beyond just the boxing, you know, whatever. I mean, we want it all. We want action.
I love that. That's incredible to me. Talking about this card that you guys have coming up in a few weeks here, what's one fight that kind of stands out to you that is kind of going almost unnoticed right now?
Unnoticed. You know, I think everybody's getting their fair share of attention, but I think people have to really start to realize what we have in Devin Reddy. This kid, I've said it before, he's got that Oscar De La Hoya type of charm. He can fight. He's not an inside fighter, but he's learning that kind of stuff. You know, he's learning those tactics. He's got over 90-plus amateur fights, former national champion. And this is the type of kid that I think he can actually go all the way. As you no doubt know, we just crowned a new NABO middleweight champion in Albert Onalinose. Mm-hmm. He's one of the four horsemen. And Albert is now number 11 world-ranked. And I see Devin getting up into those kind of rankings and stuff probably inside of 20 fights. So that could mean as early as next year, 2019, Devin Reddy will be a world-ranked fighter living here in Calgary. You don't always have to go to Vegas and New York to do this kind of stuff. So you can do it right here in Calgary now.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned there the four horsemen here in Calgary. That's something that's come on in the last little bit. Obviously, fighters who have been around for a little bit, but tell us a little bit about the four horsemen here in Calgary.
Yeah, you know, the name just kind of stuck. It was coined by somebody at the gym. We took a really cool photo, and basically who it is. It's Albert Onalinose. It's Gwyn Lewis, Devin Reddy, and our Filipino fighting sensation, Alvin Tam. And these guys, you know, they're some of the best in the country. You know, we just recently went out east and fought Francis Lafrenier in his hometown of Montreal. And we were not expected to win that fight whatsoever with Albert. And he went in there. We were so unexpected to win it that they didn't even put a rematch clause in the first contract. And they didn't even have a replacement belt to give to Albert, because they were 100% confident. And let me tell you, they are PO'd at us. You know, they've invited us back. They're gentlemen, and they're treating us great. But they want that title back. And so we head back there in June. And, you know, Albert, he's acting like that mentor of these younger guys. And now with the addition of Country Candy Wyatt, I don't know what her position is going to be because we got the Four Horsemen. Maybe she'll just be, keeping these guys in line. So we'll see how it all turns out and what the new phrase will be.
She's the muscle of the group. With Albert, I saw that the rematch scheduled for June. You guys feeling pretty confident you guys can make Lightning strike twice in this bout?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they're going to bring everything possible, in ring, outside ring, everything possible to get that title back. But, Albert didn't show everything in that fight either. So he's got something new that he's been working on. So we're 100% confident going in, but we know we're in tough. We're acting like the contender. You know, we're the underdog. We're the B-side in this fight still, even though Albert's a champion. But, we're going to win. You know, we're preparing, and we've got a game plan. Worked for us the first time, and we're confident in the second.
Chatting with Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short here on Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Once again, tickets for the May 26th event are on sale now. We'll give out the details coming up here in a little bit. We do have some boxing on a more global perspective this weekend. Adrian Broner taking on Jesse Vargas. Broner is someone, a ton of talent. He seems to have trouble staying out of trouble, though. What do you make of Adrian Broner and some of his out-of-the-ring antics?
You know, my take on Adrian Broner is this. We have to admit, the guy's got talent. He's got world-class hand speed. He's got great power. You know, he's a multi-time world champion already. My feeling is this. He never actually found out who he is. He never showed us true Adrian Broner. He's been mimicking Floyd. He's been pretending he's, you know, like Floyd Jr. and all that kind of stuff. And he mimics. And it didn't work for him. Just imagine how good that guy could be if he could keep his act together, you know, the mental side, and really showcase who he is, not try to impersonate somebody. Jesse Vargas, you know, let's face it, he's the pride of Las Vegas. And, you know, he's got great lineage, amateur and professional. He's got a great record. He's got fast hands. And he's beaten guys like Broner in the past. So I'm leaning towards Jesse Vargas in the fight. But Adrian Broner, you know, I don't know. Depends on which one shows up. If he's mentally prepared, and, you know, obviously recently he's had a lot of issues outside the ring. So hopefully none of that stuff is on his mind. So who have you guys got?
I have Broner. And
yeah, me too.
he's one of those ones where if he puts it together and he fights like peak Adrian Broner,
yeah,
there are few people on this planet who can beat him at that weight class. And so, like, that's just tough for me to overlook. But you're right. If he's not 100% sharp, Vargas is someone who could roll through.
Yeah, just take advantage of that whenever he wants, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm basing it on the Mikey Garcia fight. You know, when they fought, yeah, I thought Mikey Garcia pretty much dominated. I know the scores were kind of close in some respects, but Garcia just used pure boxing ability against him. You know, he can punch pretty good. Vargas is not a big puncher, but he's got respectable power. But he's got good quality defense, good stand-up, and he's got fast hands. And I just see Vargas taking it by decision. You know, of course, I've been wrong in the past, but you never know.
Sticking with this whole global boxing theme, we're not going to get Triple G versus Canelo for a while now, at least for another 6 months, because Canelo just tested positive and he's now suspended for 6 months. What's your take on this?
Yeah, you know, listen, guys, boxing is already a dangerous sport. You got highly trained athletes in there. And, you know, if you're doing PEDs, any kind of stuff like this,
or tainted means, apparently. You know,
yeah, you're talking about, you know, killing people.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, you know, like, it's just crazy to be using your fist to hit a guy, and you know, you've become Superman, and it's not a good thing. I don't know why it's only 6 months. Obviously, well, I do know why, because it's big money involved with Canelo.
Mm-hmm.
But this is horrible news, and you know, for him to even be calling for the drug testing himself and then getting busted twice, it's not a good scene. So I hope he gets together. I hope he fixes it. You know, it's really sad that we lost that fight. I thought he did incredible in the first go round. And I would have liked to seen that fight. It's incredible for boxing, but this kind of stuff, it just puts a black eye on it. So what we do need is we need some of those new stars to emerge. You know, like we had the Fab Four in the 80s. We had, you know, people like Tyson, Holmes, Spinks, like at the heavyweights. We need some stars in boxing that really transcend the sport. And a lot of these guys are going by the wayside. You know, Pacquiao's on his way out. Mm-hmm. Mayweather sometimes is going to fight, maybe not. Now he's doing that Conor McGregor stuff again, but who knows? We need some stars. And, you know, let's just keep watching boxing, seeing good quality skills, and hopefully some of these guys will start to emerge and become famous for other stuff than, you know, blow-ups and mental instability.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, here's hoping. I think there's a couple of those in the heavyweight division who are right on the cusp of being stars, but no, you're right. That's kind of the next step that is needed right now. The next step for boxing fans in Calgary is to get the tickets for Dakota Fight Night, once again at the Grey Eagle Event Center. If people are interested in getting tickets, checking out some of the Four Horsemen in Calgary, watching a Candy Wyatt fight, as well as some exciting K1-style kickboxing, where can they go to get the tickets?
Yeah, for sure. Always, it's dakada.ca, www.dekada.ca. Ticketmaster has them, of course. And you can go right to the box office, and you save a couple bucks by going to the box office off of Ticketmaster, and get your physical tickets in hand, get them in advance, and we expect another sellout. So I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, the last one sold out. This one, I would imagine, will do so as well. Mm-hmm. Michael, always a pleasure, sir. I'm sure we will talk to you as we get closer to May 26th.
Thank you, Mike.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Once again, thank you to Mr. Boxing mm-hmm. in Calgary for coming on today. He always good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we could ask him about a dude fighting on an undercard in Reseda, California, and shady bar.
We would have a 3-hour show about it.
Yeah. He would have full scouting report. Yeah. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Definitely.
I'm happy that we have him on as a regular guest, and happy. We said to him off air, they're never satisfied.
No.
Okay. In Grey Eagle Event Center. All right. Cool.
Yep.
A lot of people say, all right, we finally made it. Let's get Zab Judah.
Yep.
Travel across North America to get Zab Judah. And then, okay, well now, I mean, we've had Zab Judah, we can kind of rest. Now let's go out and win a title in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and do that. All right, well, fine. K1 kickboxing.
Yep.
Let's do that as well. Yep. Now, mending fences between Edmonton boxing and Calgary boxing.
Yeah.
And K1 is on this as well.
Yeah.
Like, it is, the work that they do is
non-stop.
So cool.
It's nonstop. And I've said it before so many times. I wish I was boxing right now.
Yeah.
Because the amount of stuff that these guys are doing, it's incredible. I never had this stuff when I was boxing.
No.
And so watching this and seeing this and hearing this, it's just like, ah.
This is very new for
this
city.
Oh, my goodness.
But they are, like, everything they want to accomplish, they're getting to.
Yep.
They have the hiccup with the last fight card that gets canceled. It was out of their hands as far as I could tell. So you hate to see that happen. Looks like they're coming back with vengeance. You got some good Calgary fighters.
Mm-hmm.
We have one ranked now.
Yep.
Like, this is a massive time for boxing in this city.
As it should be.
Like, this kind of feels like we're in the first chapter of, like, a massive documentary for boxing. You know, like, this is just the beginning. So
love it.
Absolutely love it.
Yep.